Today's shiur is about a shliach who was mishana from the shlichus. He didn't do the shlichus, the way he was given. And we're going to discuss whether or not that, the transaction that the shliach did is valid, or could the mishlech and shliach say invalidate it because the shliach, wasn't done correctly. So let's take an example that, would bring out a lot of these halachas. So Reuven wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkos, and he wanted to rent an apartment, to stay. So he had a friend, Shimon, who lived in Yerushalayim, and he called up Shimon and asked him if he could find an apartment for him. He told him exactly what he needs, how many bedrooms, what area he wants. And he told him that, the maximum he would pay for this rental is $8,000. So Shimon went around the next couple of days. Obviously, it wasn't so easy to find an apartment that, matches all the specifications. Finally, he found one. And it was, it was met everything that he wanted. There was only one issue, that it was $9,000 instead of $8,000. And, but Shimon felt, since it, in every other area, it fits so good. So, he figured Reuven would probably be fine with it. And he signed on the lease, put down a deposit maybe. And, cause he didn't want to lose it. And, later on he got a hold of Reuven and he told him he found an apartment, but it was $1,000 more. Shimon was not too happy. He said, even $8,000 he didn't really want to spend. That was just sort of like a max, just in case you can't find anything else. But, $9,000 is totally out of his budget. So he told Shimon to go and, cancel the contract. Shimon went down and to the landlord, and the landlord didn't want to cancel it. He didn't want to give back the deposit. He said, we made a deal. I had other, people looking at it. Now I'm going to have to start putting it on the market. He wasn't interested in canceling it. So the question is, is the lease valid? Is the lease valid? And if it is valid, who maintains responsibility for this, liability for it? Is it Reuven the Mishaleach or Shimon the Shliach? So, the Gemara in Ksubis Daf Tzadi Tesem Beis talks about such a case, such an idea, where, different mistakes that a shliach can make. One example the Gemara talks about is where the shliach, similar to this, where the shliach overpaid for the item. And overpaid or underpaid, and the Gemara says that even though normally it's talking about karak over there, even though normally we say ein einal karkais, and if you overpaid by a little, you can't invalidate the sale. Still, since it was done through a shliach, so the mishliach could say l'tkuni shadarticha v'loy la'avasi, I sent you to my benefit and not to my detriment. Meaning, I only made you a shliach to do it the way. The way I wanted. If you did it not the way I wanted, you're not a shliach, and therefore the mekach is batal. So, based on that Gemara, it would seem very simple. The shliach could call up the landlord and say that l'tkunish da'aticha v'lay la'avasi, I was never given authority to sign this lease for $9,000. And therefore the transaction is batal. I wasn't doing it on my own behalf. So, I knew it was $9,000, but I wasn't doing it on my own behalf. So I'm not liable for it. And, the mishaleach is also not liable. And both of them would be pater, and it would be the landlord's loss. However, this is not so pashut, because there's another Gemara, which seems to be a steerer to that. That Gemara is in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Tesam and Beis. And the Gemara there has a case where a lady sent a shliach to buy a karka for her. And the shliach bought the karka. He bought the right karka, and that was good. However, he did not. He forgot to get achrayas from the seller. And the typical thing in that practice was that when a meicher sold a karka, it came along with a warranty that just in case someone comes and you know, says the property never really belonged to the seller or other issues that could come up. So it was sort of like a title insurance. The meicher, you know, provided his own title insurance to the property. That was a normal thing that they included in the sale. This shliach forgot to include that in the sale. He forgot to insist on it, and therefore the meicher didn't offer it if he didn't have to. And now it's too late to get that achrayah. Now the meicher says, you already bought it without achrayah, so why should I give this insurance? So the halacha is, we say that, this story came to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said that he told the shliach, zil zavni milei shalei b'achrayis, the mekach is chal, and without the achrayis, but v'hadar zavni milei b'achrayis, the shliach has to make up the difference, meaning the shliach has to provide this insurance. So basically it comes out that the mishaleach and the seller are not losing out. The seller is getting, you know, the mekach stays, he gets to keep his money, he doesn't have to give the achrayas. The mishaleach doesn't lose out because he's getting the achrayas, and the shliach is the one that has to eat this loss. Meaning he has to provide the achrayas. So this is obviously a stira to the Gemara in Ksubas, where there we just say, l'kun shaticha v'loy lavasi, and the whole mekach is batal. So why here also we should say that the mekach is batal, he bought it shalei v'achrayis, and the meicher should be the one to lose out. So we find be'ikar two terutzim to this stira. One terutz is the Ravitz terutz. The Ravitz says that that l'tkunish da'aticha v'lei la'avasi is an option that the mishaleach has. If he wants, he could be mevatel the whole shlichus. He could say, I don't want. But he also has another option. He could say, I want to keep the mekach, but I want the shliach to make up the loss. Because really, the shliach, let's say in the case of achrayas, if the shliach wouldn't have messed up, I would have got this property by achrayas. So I don't want to just invalidate it. It's not fair. If I invalidate it, I won't have a loss, but I won't have the property. I was supposed to get the property with achrayas. And if the shliach would have done his job, that's what I would have got. So it's not fair to me just to say, oh, I could invalidate the sale. Therefore, I could force the shliach to fix the damage he did. And I want to keep the mekach, and the shliach should make up the difference. So basically, the mishaleach has two options, and in the Gemara in Ksubis, there the mishaleach didn't want to insist on the shliach making up the difference. He was fine; he didn't really care. You know, this didn't work out. I'll buy a different one, so he didn't care. So then he can invato the shlichas. But if he does care, then he could keep it. He has an option of keeping it and requiring the shliach to be mekayim this. And the shliach achrayis is because he was sort of, you know, mazik the mishaleach by not going, you know, not following the shlichus, so he's mechayev to make up for it. That's the Ravitz mahalach. The Rambam and the Rosh have a different mahalach. They have a very interesting mahalach, and they say that that the mishaleach could say, the mishaleach and the shliach could say, l'tkuni shadarticha v'loy la'avasi, and the shlichus is batal, that's only if the shliach told the meicher that he's a shliach. So, you know, he came and he told him, I'm buying this, I'm half of a mishaleach, so So the Meicher knows that he's really selling it to Mashiach. And he also knows that, you know, the Shliach might not be saying it, doing the transaction the exact way the Mashiach wanted. And, you know, that was his risk. He decided to go along with the purchase, even though the party that he's dealing with is not here. It's only through a Shliach. He agreed to do it through a Shliach. So that's one of the risks he takes, that, it could be the Shliach didn't do the shlichus correctly, and therefore the sale is batal. Masha'en kein, if the shliach didn't say that he's a shliach, he just came in and said, okay, I want to buy this property, and the Meicher said, okay, and he sold it, then the shliach can't come later and say, I forgot to tell you that I was really a shliach for so-and-so, and he doesn't really agree to it, So I'm not masking the mechach is batel. What do you mean? The shliach never told the meicher that he's a shliach. So basically, the way the Ran explains it is that if the shliach didn't say that he's a shliach, then that means that he is taking full responsibility for this mechach. So ein hachanami, the Meicher could be Mevatel, the Mekach. The Meicher could always be Mevatel. He could say, even in the Gemara of Basra, where it talks about Achrayas, the Meicher could say, and the Mekach is Batel. However, the reason why the Mekach is Chayim is because the Shliach has liability for it. So, meaning the Shliach sort of takes over the place of the Shliach, and he becomes the buyer. And it's his. Now, once it's his, so Mamela, he has nothing to do with the field. He really just, therefore, it's sort of like an option that the Shliach has. The Shliach has an option to now go and give it, if he's going to take the title insurance himself, take that liability himself, then he has an option to give it over to the Mashliach, and then the Mashliach has to take it, because now already the Shliach is providing that insurance. So when Rav Nachman said that the Shliach has to take a chrayas, it wasn't that it's not really that he has a chiv to take a chrayas. He has a chiv to buy it. You have to buy it, you have to pay out of your pocket for the whole property. It's just that he has an ability to lower his liability by unloading it back to the Mishaleach if he makes up the difference. Now the Mishaleach, has to take it, and there's no reason why he wouldn't take it. and the Lashon of the Sma, when he explains this, he says, like a very nice Lashon, he says the reason why the shliach has to take achrayus, for this mekach, if he didn't tell the meicher that he's a shliach, ki yomer ha-meicher, the meicher will tell him, ein li esek ha-meshaleach, I have nothing to do with the meshaleach. I didn't never agree to deal with the meshaleach. You didn't tell me that there's a meshaleach here. You just told me you're buying it. So when you say that you're buying something and you don't say that it's on behalf of someone else, you are making a representation that I am taking responsibility for this mekach. So it comes out these two mahalchim over here. So it comes out that the pashtus is that avad, like the Gemara says, that if the shliach was mashana, then the shliach could say l'tkun shatricha v'lo lavasi. And therefore, the Meshaleach is not bound to the purchase. However, the Shliach will often have liability here. And in one of two ways. Either if he was not Medea, the Meicher, that he's a Shliach. So then you have the Rosh and the Rambam Shita, like the Ran explains, that he becomes liable for the whole purchase. He basically has to step in as the lekeach, because when he bought it stama without saying that he's a shliach, that's a representation that he's going to be achray for this payment. So he has to pay out of his own pocket, and then if he wants, he could sell it back to the shliach. That would be one way how the shliach would get liability. And the other way would be is if the shliach insists on the shliach making up for this hefsid. So, you know, meaning if the Mishleach wants, he can be Mevatalib, but if the Mishleach says, no, I'm not happy with being Mevatalib because there was an opportunity that I lost because of you, then he could be Mechayev the Shliach to make up for to buy it, and if it's possible to make up the loss, you can Mechayev the Shliach to make up the loss. Bring that, and it's possible that the Ravid and the Rambam don't argue. They argue what's pshat, how to answer up the Siyur of the Gemara, but it's possible that each one agrees in concept to this liability, to each, you know, each of the pshatim, each of the liabilities. So, applying that to our case with Reuven, who was trying to come to Yerushalayim for Sukkos, so Pashas, we would say, according to the Ravid, according to the Ravid, the Mishaleach could say, technically the Mechach is batal, you messed up, however, I want this apartment for Sukkos. I don't want to just be Mevatel. I could be Mevatel, but I don't want to be Mevatel. I want an apartment for $8,000. So he could be Mechayev the Shliach to keep it, to buy it for, take it for $9,000 and then flip it to him for $8,000. And according to the Rambam, then L'chaira, it would come out that the Shliach would not have liability, because in this case, the Shliach did mention that he was a Shliach for someone, you know, for someone from America. So he mentioned it. So therefore, there was no representation that he's taking liability. He said clearly, I'm not the kind of here. And therefore, the Shliach would not have liability. And the Shliach would also not have liability. And the lease would be batal. However, really, both of these points are not pashut at all. and let's start off with what we said from the Ravid. I think it's pashut that the only reason that the Ravid says that the Shliach has to make up the difference is only when he caused the Mishaleach a loss of opportunity that he otherwise would have had. Meaning the Mishaleach wanted to buy this specific property. And if he would have went himself, he would have got this property with Achrayus. And if the Shliach would have done his job properly, then the Mishaleach would have got this property with Achrayus. Now, the Shliach did a irreparable harm. He bought it without Achrayus. That means it wouldn't be fair for the Shliach to just say, okay, it didn't work out, let's just be Mevatel the Mekach. What do you mean Mevatel the Mekach? I want this property, and I want it with Achrayus. Now we can't get it with Achrayus anymore. So therefore he can be Mechayiv the Shliach to give it to Achrayus. Masha'en Kane, in our case with the apartment in Yerushalayim, if the Shliach wouldn't have messed up, the Reuven never would have got this property for $8,000. This property was not for sale for $8,000. It was $9,000. The Shliach would have done it properly, so they just never would have got it. If you're going to tell the Shliach that he has to make up the loss and now flip it to him for $8,000, so it comes out that Reuven is now benefiting from Shimon's loss. That wasn't the idea of the Gemara. The idea is that Reuven shouldn't lose from the Shliach's mistake. He's not supposed to benefit from the mistake. So basically, the Shliach, if they're Mevatel the Shlichus, then the Shliach didn't lose out anything. He didn't get it, and he wasn't supposed to get it. So therefore, I think it's Pashut that the rival would agree that the Shliach wouldn't have liability in this case. They would just be Mevatel. That would be according to the Ravid. However, I think Fakert, according to in the Rambam's Mahalach, and again, L'chayra it's not a machlaik, it's just two ways how to get the Shliach to maintain liability. But according to the Rambam's Mahalach, so we said, okay, here the Shliach was Medea, that he was a Shliach, so therefore he doesn't have liability. But really, it's not so pashut because the Shach, Shach later on, in Siman Kuf Pei He, Sif Kuf Zayin, says that when we say that a shliach meidia, the meicher, that he's a shliach, he frees himself of liability, that's only if he's meidia, if he informed the meicher of the whereabouts of the mishaleach. I mean, he told him who the mishaleach is, and not only that, but the Chavis Das in Siman Kuf Samach Tes Sifkat and Kuf is mashva that it's not only enough just to say the name of the mishaleach; it has to be that the meicher recognizes the mishaleach, or at least has some way to get a hold of him. So in that case, we say that the meicher is not relying on the shliach. He knows the shliach is doing it on behalf of this shliach. He told him his name. He knows how to get a hold of him. So he's relying on the shliach. But if you just a shliach just comes and says, "Oh, okay, I'm buying it on behalf of I'm renting the apartment on behalf of someone in New York." So how could it be that someone agrees to lease his property to someone in New York without, that's all he knows about him? I mean, how is he planning on getting any money from him? So we still say that the meicher really is relying on the shliach. If you didn't give any, a phone number or something, then really the meicher is still relying on the shliach. So based on that, it would come out that the shliach would be liable here for the $9,000. And again, if he has the option, obviously, to flip it to $8,000, but he would be liable because he didn't give over any identifying information to the meicher. It's not clear if everybody agrees to the shach. I think other achrayim argue, and they say that, you don't need the meicher to have any recognition or to have any way to get a hold of the mishaleach, as long as it was clear to the meicher that the shliach was not doing it on his own behalf, so then the shliach doesn't have liability. So, I guess to be safe, what the landlord would want to do in this case when a shliach comes and to sign a lease, so the meicher would say, listen, you have two options here. Either you can, go back, either I want to speak directly to the shliach, give me his phone number, or here's my phone number, let him call me. I want to speak directly to him, make sure that he's happy with this apartment, and this way I know he's not going to back out. Or I want you, the shliach, to be responsible. So that would be a way how the meicher could make sure that he doesn't end up in such a scenario. But otherwise, if he doesn't say that, he has to know, the meicher has to know, the meicher in this case is the landlord. The landlord has to know that he is going to have such a risk where the shliach could always say, I told you it wasn't on my behalf, and I thought the mishleach would want it. Lamaisa, he doesn't want it, and the landlord's going to be stuck. So, that's what the landlord should do to avoid this problem. Now, one last point here, very important point, is that there's a there's another case which is not mamish the case of the Gemara, but it's somewhat similar. We could really pry this rationale here. Is you have often someone will sell something, maybe you have a shetemacher selling shetels, someone selling furniture in his basement or something like that, and you go, you buy it, and let's say it's a shetel, so it turns out the shetel is defective, so you come back. And Shetemacher says, "Okay, yeah, yes, you're right. The Shetel is defective, but I didn't mention, but I really am not the seller. I really it's some dealer in I don't know what, in Brooklyn or maybe in China. And I'm just like an agent, you know, I get paid commission, 10% of every sale. I'm not, you know, the money you gave me, the $2,000 you gave me didn't go to me. It went to the dealer. I just got some commission. So I'm not the seller. So, you know, I don't have any, you know, liability to you. I didn't take your money. And therefore, I'll give you the phone number of the, you know, the real seller, you know, and they might not necessarily speak English, and they might only be, you know, open during Chinese business hours, but take their phone number and deal with them. Now, this is obviously very frustrating for the buyer because, you know, she thought she was dealing with some local person who she's able to get a hold of and not some phone number in China or anywhere else or Brooklyn or anywhere. So the question is, does this agent, we'll call them, the Shekemacher, who now, you know, is informing us that she's an agent only, does she have any responsibility? So the pashtus would be, you would say, no, she doesn't have liability. She is not the seller. She was a shishliach. She never took the money. I mean, she took it, but she just passed it on to the you know, the dealer. So how could she have liability? But based on this Shitas HaRambam, you know, as explained by the Ran and others, we see this musig that a shliach, if he didn't say he's a shliach, then that's a representation that he is taking liability and stepping in the place of the mishalach. And you know, again, just to say over the Sma's Lashon, right? The meicher could say, and in this case it's the buyer, I have nothing to do with him. I never knew I was dealing with a mishalach here. So even though the case is different, meaning the case that the Gemara and the Rishonim are talking about is when the shliach, he messed up. He didn't do the shlichus properly. Here, the shliach did the shlichus properly. The shliach was supposed to sell the shetel, and she sold the shetel. She did the shlichus properly. It's just that the shetel happened to be defective. So, you know, so that fact is different. The shliach didn't mess up at all. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, but the concept still chayra applies, that if you enter into a transaction and you don't tell the other party that you are really a shliach, and you give you give the appearance that you are the actual seller or the buyer, so then that is like a representation to the other party that you are taking responsibility, because that's the appearance that you're giving, and therefore you taka have full achrayas. So you know, really the rationale of the Rambam should l'chayr apply in this case. And the Chavzah says this clearly in Siman Kuf Samach Tes, Sifkan Chav. He says, there it's talking about halva. So it's talking about someone came to borrow money, and he didn't say that he's borrowing the money on behalf of someone else. So he just said, I would like a loan. So the halacha is that he can't come later and say, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, I was really borrowing the money on behalf of someone else, and, you know, go run after him for the money. No, Chavzah says, same, you know, the same thing I was saying, that if you didn't say you're a shliach, then you have achrayas. And again, we would also have that chumrah of the shach, and Chavzah himself also, that it's not even enough just to say you're a shliach. You have to give over the name and some identifying information about the mishliach. So if you take that chumrah, we could even take it one step further and say, even if the Shekemacher made it clear that she's only a shliach, but if she didn't give any information about the seller, and there was no way, you know, for the buyer to know that the seller is someone in China, so then that doesn't help. The Shekemacher would still maintain liability because it's understood that she's the only one who the buyer could is dealing with and knows about. So, So that, you know, that's another you know, very interesting chiddush that will come out from this sugya. two more very important points are, one, that we see from the Gemara in Baba Basra that this concept where Mashaleach could say L'tkun Shaticha V'lo La'avasi, and they could invalidate the transaction when the shliach made a mistake. It's even when the mistake was not explicitly against the instructions of the mashaleach. So, meaning, the example in the Gemara Baba Basra is where the shliach bought the property without the chrayus, without this insurance. Now, the mashaleach never told the shliach clearly to buy it with insurance, but it was, it was sort of understood that when you buy a property, the normal thing was to buy it with a chrayus, and if you didn't, that's a mistake, even though it wasn't explicitly against the mashaleach's instructions. So, that would mean that this halacha would really have, much bigger ramifications than we might think. And just applying it to our case where the shliach was given instructions to pay $8,000 and he paid $9,000. So, but even we would be able to expand it to a case where, let's say the price was taka $8,000, like the mashaleach said, but let's say there was no porch to make a sukkah, and the shliach had noticed this, and the landlord said, it's fine, you can make a sukkah downstairs, outside, it's only four flights up, and the shliach said, okay, it's fine, it's very hard to find apartment shliach, let's just take it. Even then, there's a very good chance that the Reuven would be able to invalidate, would not be achroi for this for this lease, and they could invalidate it because he could say, it's normal is for an apartment to have a porch, and most people would not take an apartment for sukkahs that does not have a porch for a sukkah, most people would not be willing to go down four flights of steps for their sukkah. So, even though we didn't discuss it, it's still considered a mistake, and he could say, L'tkun Shaticha V'lo La'avasi. And then the other point is that, everything we've been discussing now is when, the shliach is not an employee. He was just someone who, decided to be a shliach. very often, these cases are happen with employees. So, a company might have a CFO, and he makes certain decisions. He enters into certain transactions, and often one might think that if the CFO made a mistake, he went against the owner's instructions, or it was just a unreasonable purchase. So then the company can validate it because the Gemara says the Mashaleach could say, L'tkun Shaticha V'lo La'avasi. That's not so pashut, and it's really, it's not our sugi so much, but it's just important to speak it out that there is a concept of when a Mashaleach says, Bein L'tikim Bein L'ivis, when he clearly tells the shliach that you are my shliach, whether or not you make a mistake or not, so then the halach is that the shlichus is chal and the transaction is binding, even if the shliach messes up. So, nowadays, it's sort of the common practice, it's sort of understood that if an employee is given the task of doing something on behalf of a company, then his shlichus is bein l'tikim bein l'ivis. And that's in fact the law in America. I think it's in all states that when an employee has apparent authority, meaning it's apparent to a third party, and the third party usually is the other one performing the transaction. So it would be the seller. Let's say if this seller, it's apparent to the seller that the employee has the authority to do this purchase. He doesn't know that the employee was given instructions not like that. So he has every right to think that the CFO has a right to do this transaction. So then the law is that the employer is bound to that transaction, and it's sort of like a takanas hashuk, that no one would agree to would ever agree to enter into any transaction with any company unless the owner signs the agreement, which of course is not practical for a large company. So the thought is that if you make an employee, if you allow an employee to make a transaction, so then you're giving him the full leeway. Otherwise, it would just not be practical for the employee to do that transaction. And therefore, since the employers know this and the third parties also know this concept, so that's sort of the minig. And therefore, it's pashtus. I think is a very strong argument to say that it's binding al pei halacha, because that's what the seller is relying on, and that's what the employer knows that. And therefore, you could say that every shlichus, every time a company hires an employee and has them do a transaction, that company is making that employee a shliach bein latikim bein leivis. And it's important to point out that this concept of apparent authority would be not only if the employee was told to do a task and he did it wrong, even if the employee was never told to do this task at all, but if it's apparent to a third, meaning just if it's apparent to a third party that he did have authority to do that, that would be enough to make the employer bound to this purchase, which means that the understanding is that every time an employer hires an employee, and knows that by hiring this employee, they are creating this apparent authority, then that means they are knowingly agreeing that he should have this authority. And of course, this would only be when it's apparent that the employee has the authority. So, if the janitor of a office of a company would come and say he wants to purchase an office building and sign it, that wouldn't bind the company to that, because it's not apparent to a third party that the janitor has the ability to buy a property on behalf of the company. In fact, not only is it not apparent that he has authority, it's actually apparent that he does not have the authority. So, the company wouldn't be bound to that. But when you put someone in a position and you give someone a title, then you are, whatever that title gives the appearance that it's has authority to do, then you are essentially agreeing to stand behind that authority.